Hey, John, how do I get this?
Hello, welcome to the Sean Steele Personal Injury Teleconference. Today's special guest is a brain surgeon. As always, you're encouraged to press the number one at any time during the conference call to ask a question, and we hope you enjoy today's personal injury program.
Dr. Sean Steele, thanks for joining us. We got a It's always a special program getting some of the best people in personal injury on the phone with us. Today is one of my favorite subjects, the area that continues to grow in interest and also frequently in many personal injury cases with chiropractors. Keep in mind, chiropractors are the ones that actually see more personal injury victims than any other healthcare provider. That's something that's terribly important. People are very concerned about medical charges, medical procedures, and generally sometimes just the lack and the indifference that you can get from medical institutions. Chiropractors have a much more personal and detailed approach to victims, and it's also a much safer alternative. But you get those patients that come in with an airbag case where they were hitting in the forehead by a 200-mile-an-hour projectile in a microsecond, their life's going to change. It's going to be a real problem. People that have a direct blow to their head, sometimes are rendered unconscious. That's a huge problem, and it could be lifetime. People that are hit, upon impact, and their head strikes the side of the car, the window. So these are major areas of accidents that people often suffer from. And then you got the slip and fall and the trip and fall, people falling directly on their head. So these are much more common than many of us think, and there used to be, for the longest time, diagnosis of a concussion, but absolutely nothing you could do about it. Just kind of go home and weather it out. So I've asked Dr. Shaw to join us, who is a brain surgeon, he's active in traumatic brain cases all the time, and he's one of the busiest brain surgeons there are in Orange County, and he's terribly articulate. A couple of things that I want to go over with them is to find out precisely what are some of the best alternatives for chiropractors. Chiropractors is the first alternative approach for people involved in an accident. Many times you have people that have a concussion, but there's no way of knowing how serious it is, and many times the patient themselves don't even know that they have a concussion. So it's up to the chiropractor to use their skills, their analysis, and their training to spot those injuries, and it's terribly important in the history when you take a history of the patient. The biggest clue is, and we don't need to make it too subtle, we don't need to make it too complicated, any blow to the head is worth investigating. Now, if somebody claims they have a big headache because they were hit from behind, but there's not the usual concussion signs, let's not get too excited about it. Sometimes we overdiagnose and think we think there's something happening when the person has a bad headache, and their head did not hit anything. And so this lack of force on the brain usually is not a good sign for a pronounced, easy to prove head injury. So we want to be careful that we don't want to overdo it. Often we underdo it. We have a clear-cut concussion. Somebody was knocked out for 15 seconds, there's going to be a major change in behavior. And how do we deal with that? And I have five approaches and five categories. First of all, I want to be able to, when you have a patient that's got a lot of complaints, a lot of headaches, a bunch of referrals come in mind to help prove it up and to help get some care. One referral that I have in mind is certainly, what do we do with a person that has a lot of complaints and want to talk about it relentlessly, and they've got some serious issues? I would suggest, whether or not it's a concussion, that they see a marriage and family counselor. And as odd as that may be, that's terribly important. They got to see a marriage and family counselor that takes some of the pressure. And from the doctor, who's always having to have a situation where the patient is constantly asking, constantly working, constantly, and constantly having a ongoing issue. And by seeing a marriage family counselor, they listen, they're kind, they're loving. Two or three sessions that has to be paid for in cash, insurance generally won't cover it, really takes the pressure off the chiropractor and helps document what we call the emotional injury. It may not be a concussion, but it certainly has changed their lives, and they're certainly upset for a temporary period of time. Secondly, the other issue that I think is terribly important is a psychologist. Some psychologists are very good at this, many are not. Some of them overcharge, some of them are reasonable, and this is a kind of a trial and error experience. But a psychologist that has experience in trauma cases are the best. They don't dispense drugs, they can listen, they can render a good diagnosis. Oftentimes they'll recommend lots of treatment. I'd be wary of that. Many of them do not take liens, but those are the psychologists who have a definite place when it comes to a head injury recovery, but they should have special training and a background. The trouble is there's so many psychologists out there, about 90% are not fit to handle serious trauma, head trauma cases. So you got to be careful about those. Thirdly is the neurologist. And again, neurologists having special training in brains ought to know the difference, ought to be careful and understanding about how neurologists work, and especially when it comes to brain trauma. And surprisingly, a large number of them are not trained to deal with traumatic brain injury cases. They're concerned about other parts of the body, and I don't see that happening very often. So when we see a neurologist, oftentimes they get very disappointing reports. They miss the concept altogether. They don't do a good job in diagnosing. So you got to be very careful about the neurologist. Many of them are good on a lien, but they just don't have any training in brain injury cases. Finally, the psychiatrist oftentimes is seen in head injury cases. They dispense drugs. They have special training in neurology, special training in psychiatry. They should be good at trauma cases, and some are not. They will, again, do the kind of consultation and discussion with the patient, but I don't see any real medical care that's taking place. I'd like to know if Dr. Shaw has joined us. Doctor, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am. Are you able to hear me?
Holy cow, you sound great. I've been doing all this talking here, not even giving you a chance to breathe. I appreciate it. Okay, great.
I was patiently and very appreciatively listening, but thank you, Sean, for having me and being able to offer my insight.
Well, the last category, the gold standard, is what I call the brain surgeon, the neurosurgeon that actually deals with these cases. And Dr. Shaw is a fun person I've recently become acquainted with the last couple of years. We've worked several cases together. He's one of the busiest brain surgeons in Orange County because he does the emergency brain trauma cases. Would you tell us about what you've done in the last week or two with some of your emergency brain cases? What kind of cases were they?
Sure. Well, one of the fun part of this this line of work is that you never know what you're going to get. And I deal in the second probably busiest trauma center here at Orange County Global Medical Center. There are three here in Orange County. And we at any week or in any month, we're seeing almost a trauma a day. And these range anything from could be the mild head concussion to the serious life-threatening traumatic brain injury that requires major surgery. There's major injury, and they require a lot of resources and a lot of expertise and a lot of intensive monitoring and treatment, in order to just either keep them alive and to preserve as much as we can for brain functioning as possible. So we run the gamut, and let me say within the last 48 hours, I've treated a young man in a motorcycle accident that came in with a fractured skull, a large blood clot that I had to do major surgery on, is now in critical condition. A 68-year-old man that fell off the ladder while doing some work on the roof of his house ended up with a serious fracture of the skull and a mild blood clot as well that we're monitoring, and he's luckily doing okay. And then we just this morning had a bicyclist, a young man and a bicyclist who was struck by a car and has a minor hemorrhage, but of course is confused and disoriented, and of course we're getting them along. So these are the typical bread and butter things that we're getting day in and day out. We do see a gamut, and of course, it's very important to recognize those people that may just come in and have minimal to no complaints after, let's say, the most typical I can tell you is a person seated in a car wreck being involved in an injury or involved in a car collision, either most typically from the back, and their heads are just kind of rocked back and forth, and they come in, of course, they're shocked, they're confused, they're disoriented to some extent. All this, you know, their adrenaline is rushing up. They're not complaining of headaches, but of course, and we screen them, and CT scans are negative. We let them go home, but after the ensuing days to weeks, they could be crippled by the fact that they're having experiencing significant problems with what's called neurocognitive functioning, routine things such as you know, focus and concentration and memory, short-term memory. I typically will even see people of in very significant positions, like bankers or executives, have had these experiences, and they just can't function in their work. Gets them psychologically, you know, despaired. They can't function either emotionally or from the cognitive standpoint. And if they don't have the right direction to steer them, because there are early interventions and injury centers around that have knowledge of these kind of things to help guide these patients to, they could be, some become even suicidal because they just don't know what's going on. They know that they have some issue related to the accident, but because their scans are negative, and even routine physicians, they say, well, your scans are negative and, you know, be on your way and, you know, things will get better. But sometimes they don't. So it's very important to recognize these key element and features early on so they can be directed in the appropriate fashion for appropriate intervention.
Well, there's you've really touched on a nerve that most chiropractors think about when they're doing motor vehicle accident cases. I've had the opportunity to lecture with neuropsychologists and such, and there's always the debate about how serious is the head injury, and some patients tend to exaggerate, no question about it. You know, they got hit, and oh my God, their life has changed, and yet it doesn't pass the smell test. We got to be careful. Sometimes our patients can fool us. So I recommend a concussion questionnaire just to get the ball rolling. Many patients don't even know that they have a head injury, and they're not able to express it or articulate it, and you got to get it from the spouse. How do you get through the malingering test? Generally, people that get rear-ended don't have permanent head injuries unless they hit their head on some object that really creates an objective concussion. That's been my experience.
Correct. Yeah, and that is a very challenging thing in medicine overall. It is, we'd like to say you always give patients the benefit of the doubt, but of course there are telltale signs as well. In other words, their emotional makeup, especially when they come in, they seem to be particularly perturbed. I mean, if the typical patient, as I indicate, are the, you know, highly functioning people who have a busy, actively productive life, and this clearly affects them from an emotional standpoint that's concurred by their family members. It's not, you know, hard to really make those people out. They come to you, they're distraught, they're tearful, they're saying, I can't function, I want to function, I need to go back in to work. And so their motivation obviously is in the right direction. Of course, the malingerers, again, it is requiring a little bit of an art form to tease these questions out and these answers out of them by knowing what their background is, especially if they have history of drug abuse or come from a broken down family background. There's a lot of family dynamics and, you know, psychosocial dynamics that go behind it. And that does require a little bit of work. But I think for the most part, most people that I see that have negative scans that come in with this emotional state that they, a very perturbed state, and you know that they have a very active, productive lifestyle that they're very eager and they're desperate to get back to, I think for the most part, you can do a good job of teasing those patients out.
Okay, I think that's terribly important because you got to use your experience, your training, and then your intuition as well. Now, any patient that's rendered unconscious, even for a couple of seconds, in my world, that really raises the probability of a serious concussion on a DEFCON 3 level. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. And these are typical screening criteria that we use now even in the field, like on a football field in high school and in college and in professional fields as well, to be able to ask these questions about or observe these periods of levels of consciousness, confusion, disorientation, their lack of focus and their judgment, even if it were be for a brief period of time, and to go through the neurocognitive testing questionnaire that actually the Brain Injury Foundation has published, and even the VA has published a very good guideline in terms of the questionnaire to go through and screen these patients for concussions.
When we have that concussion syndrome, and it seems like, give me an airbag case, and I get really close to 100% if the airbag exploded in the patient's face, again, at a high velocity in a microsecond. That's a concussion. It's just a question of measuring it. And I think the folks that I've been using, for the most part, are neuropsychologists who seem to have, it's a very rare group. So many psychologists call themselves neuropsychologists without training. It's really a fake credential that they make up. There are others who have, we use one that teaches at UCLA in clinical psychology, who's a world-renowned, written many papers, that's highly credible that the insurance industry is very aware of. So there's a range, like everything else in life, of high-quality neuropsychs and the low-quality so-called neuropsychs. My understanding is with their two-day examination with a great variety of tests that they administer to the patient, they're able to determine and measure to some extent the cognitive losses. In a personal injury context, that's a big deal. We want to know what the patient lost as a result of the accident. Is there other, does medicine also provide that technology, that information?
Yes, that's a very good question. It's a very large area of research that's undergoing, and certainly our understanding and our knowledge base of the actual pathophysiological, mechanisms and that are present in these even what's called indolent head injuries, where you see them functionally quite impaired, but you're not seeing any obvious evidence based on the CT or MRI scan. So there has been a lot of work going on this, including there's certain types of high-powered MRIs that they've been able to screen some of these patients and clearly have been showing some snapped fiber tracks another interesting study that's been going on is actually following ocular movements. There's apparently some certain peculiarities of the normal ocular movements that could be impaired in certain brain injury patients. Those patterns are being detected. This work is coming out of New York at Columbia University. There's a lot of work going on. There still needs to be a lot, gone through. One of the forefronts of some of this work is actually the Defense Department and the VA, because we have a lot of our brave soldiers coming back who may have not sustained physical injuries but have clearly sustained significant neurocognitive impairments from blast injuries and just head concussions. And it's a huge cost because it's hard to get these guys back into a productive life, especially when they're coming back. So a lot of research and work is going. Our understanding is improving, but there is still quite a ways to go. And I have to say, just to add on to what you said earlier about not just the disciplines, there's a lot of disciplinary over that go over each other. In other words, there are neurologists that are in this field. There's acute or physical medicine and rehab physicians that are involved in this. The psychologists, neuropsychologists, neuropsychiatrists. So and even family practice doctors, as a matter of fact, in addition to some of the chiropractors and other pain management doctors as well. So you really have to try to find in your local area People who deal with a lot of this, who have experience in this, have a good reputation in this. And we're fortunate in Southern California, there are a number of places that are actually geared towards, the outpatient management and evaluations of these head trauma patients. So there are resources available, nonprofit resources, quite a bit. I would advise people go to the Brain Trauma Foundation that actually has links online to a number of these resources that are available in the local communities that people can search out for. So they are there, but it's multidisciplinary, and you just have to be able to really find the resources for these particular patients that is really important early on to be able to recognize and get them involved into a program.
Fascinating across all the way around, Doctor, and this is going quite quickly. I want to type a couple of areas of chiropractors have been involved in some of these brain trauma cases, and I want to urge a good deal of caution. There's been some talk about some chiropractors actually owning a hyperbaric oxygen tent or hyperbaric oxygen therapy for traumatic brain injury, and I guess the theory is that by putting a patient inside of such a tank, you get a great deal of fresh and pure oxygen, and that should help restore the healing of the brain. What's your opinion on that kind of therapy?
Well, when I was at UCLA, we actually had a hyperbaric oxygen chamber that we had put some injury patients in, and there have been a fair amount of papers written for that. Unfortunately, a lot of these papers and a lot of the studies don't really mete out any substantial benefit. Now, I'd like to say, so long as the science makes sense, it's important. We do know from a number of conditions, especially in wound healing, trauma, the external trauma, these patients that are given bariatric therapies, they do benefit. We know that wound healing is better in these kind of patients. But unfortunately for brain injury, and depending on what kind of brain injury, again, there's mild, moderate, severe brain injuries, and it's been studied across the board, there's some anecdotal and there's some weak data to suggest that, hyperbaric oxygen can be helpful. But unfortunately, it's not a slam dunk. And, it is not an approved therapy. Not a lot of the payers or even Medicare will offer that. Or reimbursed for that. So it does become a matter of some patients who, so long as they are educated about the potential benefits and also the studies out there that don't show a clear and clear-cut benefit over routine care, it is certainly something of an option that's out there, certainly, but you have to take it with a grain of salt, unfortunately.
Well, let's hope that there's more technology on the way. I'm glad UCLA is employing such a device, but it's not a mainstream use, and I guess most neurosurgeons, or brain injury specialists are not relying on this technology at this point. It could change if more information comes in, I take it.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, it's mostly a matter of what are the best patients to put in them? And that has yet to be, I have a feeling that, we're probably not choosing or selecting the right kind of patients that could possibly benefit from this. But that has still yet to be meted out.
There's a new field that's emerging in chiropractic called chiropractic neurology. There's an institute in Florida, I believe it's called the Carrick Institute, where they hold themselves out as a clinical neuroscience and rehabilitation, and they don't just handle brain injury cases. They're looking at working with acupuncture, looking at migraine headaches, human performance, movement disorders. So it's a fascinating area, and then there's also some mention about traumatic brain injuries. Have you had experience with chiropractors that actually are engaged in neurological work and know anything about, or especially, I guess, it's the ocular work, and I'm not even sure what that means, but some work with the eyes and that the chiropractor can actually help the patient with?
Well, number one, again, these aren't approved therapies. I haven't looked specifically into the Carrick Institute to see what they have on offer. Chiropractic therapies and treatments have been available for a number of years, and We know, for, especially for certain conditions, especially musculoskeletal pain-related issues, you know, degenerative spinal disorders, mostly of those nature, and even patients with, for example, spasticity from spinal cord injuries or even the movement disorder problems, you know, related to Parkinson's. Those aspects can, they have been doing therapy, chiropractic therapy for a while. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of hard scientific-based evidence out there to espouse its benefits compared to routine allopathic medical care. So it is an open question.
Well, let's continue studying that. I intend to have a chiropractic neurologist on one of our shows in the future because it's a fascinating field, and if people are getting better, we need to know about it. Finally, you also have your own treatment for brain injury cases. What is the technology you're using today?
So again, it depends on patient selection because there is a gamut and a range of impairments that are associated with head concussions. And this ranges all the way from minor neurocognitive issues such as the difficulty with the short-term memory, thought processing, thought integration, decision-making, to the severely impaired patients who are in a coma and now have severe neurocognitive deficits. So, depending on what kind of patient, they can potentially still get significant treatment. For the severe injury, of course, intensive rehab, neuro rehab is very important in places specialized specialized traumatic brain injury centers. Whereas patients with mild neurocognitive impairments can benefit from a range of treatment options that can range from psychological to antidepressants to even what we have these days that is becoming of very interest is transcranial magnetic stimulation therapy.
That's very fancy. That's a very fancy set of words there. Would you say that one more time?
Yeah, it's called transcranial magnetic stimulation therapy, and this has been around for a very long time. UCLA, when I was doing my fellowship, we had been doing it for head injuries and also for depression. We're one of the first centers that actually was in the forefront for getting this FDA approved for depression primarily, but it still has some open work in traumatic brain injury. And a lot of other, actually, even in stroke rehab and neuro restoration, and even for as much as things like in Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. But the main focus, it is FDA approved for depression and major depression. There's been over 2 million treatments that's been delivered in the depression field, and it's very well tolerated with very minimal side effects. And what it is basically delivering focal magnetic stimulation to the brain. We have some theories as to why this may be an effective means of treating depression, especially in terms of its ability to stimulate neuronal activity and stimulate neuronal networks to develop or so. And we know from the head concussion and head injury data that there is elements of snapping of neuronal tracts and neuronal networks that happens from, you know, these violent application of forces to the head. Again, that may not show up on scans. So the stimulatory ability to enhance and encourage the brain to reform networks and develop neural networks again is the basis upon which we think that this may be benefiting patients.
So it almost sounds chiropractic in a sense with manipulation, restoration, blood flow, and regeneration. It sounds like a very organic and logical process. Doctor, we've run out of time. That's what happens when we have somebody really smart and interesting and doing some cutting edge. I will mention we're enticing Dr. Shaw to join us for our annual big blowout best of the personal injury seminar that we'll be having in October. We'll let you know the dates in the future. We're going to have it at LAX. It's convenient for everybody, for folks that have to fly down and join us. I think it's going to probably be last year was our biggest one. I think this will be even bigger because brain injuries, concussions, and all the things that are in between are vitally important in today's practice. I think we're going to have a good 8 hours of accredited continuing ed hours on that. So we'll keep you informed. Doctor, how does one get a hold of your office?
Well,
for patients that suffer this exactly this kind of problem.
Correct. So we have our practice that's based here in Newport Beach called the Newport Neurospine Specialist and the Newport Brain Institute. The number here is 949-284-0575, and we'd be happy to take any inquiries. And again, Sean, thank you very much for having me. I'm excited to participate in any of these deliberations in the future because there's so much for people to learn in terms of an awareness aspect of this and to say that there's things that can be done very meaningfully to people's benefit.
Well, that wasn't true for you know, as long as the human race has been beating each other on the head, people just took their lumps and they lived with permanent brain injury thereafter. But after the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, there's an enormous amount of funding and research through the VA and medicine in general and chiropractic as well. But what's the best way to restore brain function? You've really opened some doors here for us. We appreciate it very much, Dr. Shaw. Have a lot of fun, stay healthy, and continue taking care of those patients.
All the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.